that good music. Let's go to Psalm 127 today. Psalm 127, and a good text for what we've been talking about lately and what we're going to talk about this morning and in light of Baby Day. Familiar text to you. Preached from it two or three times over the years, and so now we'll go again. No, we shouldn't hesitate to use familiar text. The well of God's Word is very deep, very, very deep. Psalm 127, let's stand together, please. We're going to read the first two verses, 1 and 2. Would you please join me on the second verse? And we're reading now the first verse of Psalm 127, which says in our Bibles, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Let's pray. Our Father, we love you today. Thank you for these precious little children, these babies, Lord, that you gave to the church family last year. Lord, bless them. Thank you for all the kiddos around this church and for every home represented here. Lord, we have homes represented with both mom and dad present. We have home with single dad or single mom. And Lord, we have need of your help this morning. No matter where we are with our home, we need you. Help us to recognize that and to learn something this morning that would be of great benefit to us. And bless your word as it goes forth. And Holy Ghost, would you help us? Bless the song and the singer and the message to follow as my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, BC.
Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his own? Christ is coming.
See all this world in chaos, friend. You remember that has to happen before the Antichrist can come in and claim to restore peace. And so I pray for Travis DeVries over in Egypt, of course, with our military over there. As far as we know, he's safe, but all communication, you know that, Brother Steve, you were able to get that kind of word. So that's a blessing. But it's quite interesting what's going on in the world today. I want to preach this morning on the Christian home. This is the third Sunday, and I don't know, we've got to give some attention to missions, and so I probably will do that next Sunday, just kind of weigh in here, but I'm probably not done with the Christian home. Probably come back to it after the missions conference is over, and just some things I hope out of the Bible that will help us in our homes, all right? Keep your Bible open today. I do want you to use it. We're going to go to a couple other passages. One of the great ways to study the Bible is to cross-reference the Word of God. Cross-reference the Word of God. And so we'll be doing that this morning a little bit. And let's ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Our Father, we do stop for a moment and pray right now for Travis that you'll protect him and all of our military personnel in Egypt and other places around the world. We think of Wendell Runyon, who called and asked prayer for his churches, those churches in Egypt. I think of Peter Boutros, Lord, and that Egyptian man, so faithful in the churches that he's established over there. And God, we understand this is a Muslim uprising, and we pray that you'll protect your people in that land. Father, I pray that you'll help us today and lift up our heads. Our redemption may be drawing very nigh. The Lord may be coming, but Lord, until that time, we need to do everything in our power to honor you and serve you with our lives, and part of that would be to have a Christian home. Help me today. May the Word of God help our hearts. I pray for that liberty that only you can give, and ask to do it in Jesus' name. And amen. This psalm or song was more than likely written by David. We know it was written for sure for David's son, Solomon, who was, of course, David's wise son. Solomon was the name that David gave to his son after Bathsheba birthed him. But then he called for Nathan the prophet to come and bless the boy and see the little baby. And Nathan the prophet came to pay a visit on the father and his newborn son. And when Nathan came, Nathan named him Jedidiah. And that name means beloved of the Lord. You see a reference to that name in verse number 2 where the Bible says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. All right? So when you read in your Bible the name Jedidiah, that's another name for Solomon. Solomon was the name that David and Bathsheba gave to the boy. Jedidiah was the name that Nathan the prophet gave to this baby. Now, Solomon was commissioned by God to build the temple building for Israel. This was instead of a tabernacle, a tent. God said, we're going to put something permanent in Jerusalem where the precious furniture is going to go in the Ark of the Covenant. And so this was a huge and important construction project. It would involve much material, much manpower, and it was Solomon's signature accomplishment, if you will, during his days as the king. Now, we have learned that the Christian home is a choice 2 Sundays ago. We learned last Sunday that the Christian home is a connection, a connection. God places the solitary in families. And now today, I want us to learn from this text that the Christian home is a construction project. It is a construction project. All right? That's what the Christian home is. Now, there are two distinct teachings in these verses that are important for us to learn. I want you to remember, being right up front with you, that we are learning what God told Solomon about the physical building called the temple. All right? And about the city in which the temple would be located, the city of Jerusalem. That's what the interpretation of this passage is. But we can make application from this passage to our houses and our families without doing the Scripture an injustice. Now, I want you to see that in the first two verses, there is one word that appears 3 times. It is the word vain. You see it twice in verse number 1 and once in verse number 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain. So 3 times in 2 verses, God uses the word vain. God's trying to teach us something here. That's the sake of repetition, emphasis. God is drawing our attention to this thing about being vain. Now, Webster's defines vain in 2 ways. Let me give you the first 2 definitions. Empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance, fruitless, ineffectual. Those are the definitions that Webster gives to the word vain. Listen again. Empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance, fruitless, ineffectual. Now, friends, listen very carefully. These definitions describe the final results of man's efforts in something that he tries to accomplish apart from God. Apart from God. So in these first two verses, God tells Solomon two distinct things. He tells him, first of all, any effort by man to build a house apart from God is vain. And any effort to keep a city safe apart from God is vain. That's what he said in the second half of verse number 1. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, as far as the second part of this verse goes, we're not going to get into that this morning other than just to say this for a minute here. Man has been attempting to keep the city of Chicago safe for years and years and years. But man has been attempting to do that apart from God and apart from biblical principle. And we can see very clearly that it's all been in what? Vain. All been in vain. Our politicians in D.C., you know, since 9/11 with the development of the Department of Homeland Security and all that's going on in this country, they're doing everything they can to keep our country safe from terrorist attacks. But they are doing it apart from God and apart from biblical principle. And friend, their attempt is proving to be vain. I don't know how many of you this week read on Fox News. I didn't see it on TV. I watched it, but read on FoxNews.com. One day this week, there was a Border Patrol agent who found in the Arizona desert, right north of the Mexican border, a book entitled, In Memory of Our Martyrs. Did you read that? In Memory of Our Martyrs. It was a book that was published in Iran, and it contained, every page contained a short biography of Islamic suicide bombers and other Islamic militants who died carrying out terrorist attacks. Each one of those pages contained biographic information, gave the martyr's name, gave the date of their death, and how they died, and how many people died in their attack. It was found in the Arizona desert this week. And by the way, when you Google it on CNN or MSNBC, you can't find it. Now listen, while our country is making a show of protecting us by having women like my wife go through a screening machine at the airport because she's such a potential terrorist bomber, they're flooding through the border down here. Unmolested. And they've been doing it for years, and the FBI warned Congress about it in 2005. That Al-Qaeda agents were moving to Mexico, changing their last name. They're already brown-skinned, learning enough Spanish to get across the border. They've been flying. Folks, I'm telling you, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You can forget about this country, but you say, well, man, we're safe, we're safe. Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. I think it's very interesting. You can't find that article, that news clip on any of the major liberal media outlets. It's unbelievable. That's what God is saying. Any attempt by man to accomplish something like the security and the safety of a city apart from me is vain. Gentlemen, I am a pro-gun advocate. I've said that from the pulpit many times. I knocked on the door one time and I introduced myself, and the guy, never seen the guy before. And he said, oh, you're the pastor who tells everybody to get guns. I said, all right, you know. I might say that once and might say Jesus saves 500 times, but I'm the pastor that tells everybody to buy guns, you know. But anyway, I think you ought to have guns. I think you ought to have weapons. I think you ought to know how to protect your house. I'm looking into the availability of a course right now that a man from McHenry County teaches that allows us to get that. You take the class, you pay the fee, you can get a concealed carry permit in the state of Utah. Even though you live in Illinois, you can't carry in Illinois, but it gives you license to conceal carry in 33 states. And the guy is willing to come here and conduct the class. And we're probably going to have it. Now, there's a cost involved, so that deflates all the balloon. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I am for being armed and protecting yourself and know how. And this guy also gives some hand-to-hand combat type things, how to get a gun away from a guy. What if a guy gets you? It's an excellent class. But I'm going to tell you something. All of that apart from God is empty. It's vain. You all understand that? It's vain. That's what God is telling us here. Now, it's the first lesson that I want to learn the most from this morning. That lesson, any effort by man to build a house apart from God is vain. Empty, worthless, has no substance. Now, we won't take time this morning to turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 11, you remember the story there where the people got together? They were all of one language and they said, "Let's build us a tower to reach all the way to heaven." Remember that? We're going to get together. We're going to accomplish this thing. They didn't go to God and say, "Help us build this tower." In fact, what they said is, "We will get together and we will build a tower to God. We don't need you to come down and help us. We're going to build it up to you." And one day the Lord looked down from heaven and the Bible says that He said, "Let's go down to find out what's going on with that tower." And He went down there and He saw a man at work there apart from Him putting that tower together. And the Bible says that while He was down there, God confounded all of their languages so that they could not understand one another's speech. And they gave up their building project and they dispersed all throughout the known world. And it was called from that day the Tower of Babel, which means what? Confusion. So what man attempted to build apart from God ended up in what? Confusion. Vanity. Vain. Empty. Now understand, friend, that there are people who are trying to build a family apart from God. And when you try to build a family apart from God, you have people ending up living within the four walls of the same house, and yet they will not understand each other. Dad speaks his own language. Mom speaks her own language. The kids speak their own language. And nobody understands each other within the four walls of the same house. And guess what reigns? Confusion. Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And you think about that. I counsel enough people to know that happens even in Christian circles. That happens within the membership of a local New Testament church, where people within the four walls of the same house together are living in confusion and don't understand each other. They're living on different levels, and there's no, like we talked about last week, it's confusion. Because that's what God said. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build. Now, folks, what we want to do is build a house with God. We want to co-labor with God to rear a family to avoid our efforts being vain and end up in confusion, right? Sure. Now, let's go over to Job chapter 38. You're real close to the book of Job. Let's go to Job chapter 39. Job chapter 39. And I want us to learn a little lesson here. This is one of those cross-references things from the peacock or the ostrich. Look at Job chapter 39, verse number 13. God is in the process of asking Job 80-some-odd questions that Job does not have the answer to. And don't look down your nose at Job. If God began to question you and me, we'd probably do the same thing. Okay? He says in the verse number 13, Job 39, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust. You can check that out. That's what the ostriches do. And they actually, the male ostrich is the one who creates this pretty large crater. It's not real deep. It's more wide than it is deep. But he creates this big, large crater. And more than one ostrich hen will lay their eggs many times in that crater. Okay, so that's what he said in verse number 14. Which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. She doesn't think about the fact that her little hatchlings are open prey to wild beasts. And she's not careful about the fact that that's the biggest bird out there. That if she steps on them, they'll die. She doesn't think about that, all right? Verse number 16, she is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. In other words, it's like she doesn't even care about her little chicklets. It's like they were not hers. Or her labor is in vain without fear. Do you see that? Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath He imparted to her understanding. And by the way, you'll read, if you check it out, where the survival rate of an ostrich hatchling is very low. You look at how many eggs that they lay compared to the number of hatchlings that actually live, and the survival rate is extremely low because she steps on her little ones and the wild beasts come and eat them. And the Bible says that she labors to deliver those little those eggs and sits on those eggs, and the male takes a turn sitting on those eggs as well. They sit on those eggs, but their labor is in vain without fear. Why? Because God deprived her of wisdom, neither hath He imparted to her understanding. Somebody might look at a scientist, a biologist, might look at an ostrich and go, why in the world they do that? Well, our Bible gives us the answer. We know more than the doctors at the University of Zoology. The Bible says, if you believe the Bible says that God deprived the ostrich of understanding and wisdom. Do you see that? And because she, now watch me, because she is deprived of understanding and wisdom, she labors in vain with the rearing of her young. So what's that teaching us? It's teaching us that we need to learn that for us to serve, what we need from God to successfully build our house is wisdom and understanding. We're going to try to rear these children for God. What I need from God is wisdom and understanding, because if I am deprived of wisdom and understanding from God, I will labor in vain. And we know where wisdom and understanding come from. Wisdom and understanding come from God. So through Bible reading and prayer, and boy, there's a great verse in Job chapter 32. Look at it just for a second here. I'm not even going to preach about it this morning. But remember, wisdom and understanding come from God. Look at Job 32:8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Inspiration. There's only one other place it's used in your Bible. All Scripture is present tense given by inspiration. Very interesting. Wisdom and understanding come from God. They come through Bible reading and prayer. And so we got to understand, parents, that the thing we need more than anything in the building of our families is wisdom and understanding, or else we will labor in vain. Now look, I know I'm talking this morning to parents who are willing to work hard to provide everything possible for the children. I was the same way. I mean, we want to work hard to provide this for our kids. And we, you know, in some cases, you know, there are families who don't want their kids wearing secondhand this or second hand-me-down this or second this. And, well, we got to have this, got to have that, and we got to have the latest gadgets, and we got to have all this stuff because, you know, our kids, we want our kids to have everything they need. I'm going to tell you what is needed more than any gadget. I'm going to tell you what's needed more than any tennis shoe or any pair of blue jeans or any kind of athletic piece of apparel. What is needed more than anything in the modern-day Christian home is wisdom and understanding from God so that we don't labor in vain. You can have all of that stuff and labor in vain if you have no wisdom and understanding. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. So we learn this. Now, we learn here that the wisdom and understanding is what we need. We understand we get that from God. Now, I want you to learn here. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter, you know, I probably won't get to finish the message, but that's all right. We'll just go as far as we can and cut it off. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. Paul, the great resurrection chapter here, he's finishing it up now, and he says in verse number 58, last verse of this chapter, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." That's what we're talking about, right? We don't want to labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. He says here, in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the common preaching, and I've done it, I think it's okay. The common preaching from this verse is, you know, man, Paul says that we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, soul winning and teaching and witnessing and singing and being a part of a church and serving. And because, man, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I believe that. But I think we leave something out of that. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's go to Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. You okay this morning? We all right so far? Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. The Christian home is a construction project. We don't want to labor in vain. We've already found out we need wisdom and understanding. We don't want to labor in vain. We need to be abounding in the work of the Lord, that we know that our labor is not in vain. Look at verse 15, chapter 32. Moses is on the mountain, been alone with God. And Moses turned 40 days up there and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the what? The work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Look at. You know what Moses had in his hands, right? God had talked to Moses for 34 days on that mountain. The first 6 days, Moses sat there. Nobody said a word to Moses. He didn't say a word to God. He sat in complete silence. Day 7, God started talking. Talked for 34 days. When Moses turned to walk down to the mount, God said, walk down from the mount, God said, "Moses, I got something for you." He handed him two tablets of stone. The Bible says that on those two tablets of stone, written with the finger of God, were the words of God. And the Bible says that that was the what? The work of God. The work of God. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? In the work of the Lord." "And I've got to be busy teaching and singing and witnessing." And yes, that's true. But don't leave out your Bible. Activity never has equaled accomplishment. Hey, folks, if we could build a home by being as active as we can in the work of the Lord, meaning going to church, soul winning, teaching, giving, singing, all the things that we do in the work of the Lord, then you tell me why have so many of the kids growing up in churches gone crazy? I'm going to tell you why. Because we get all caught up in the activity of serving God. We forget that we're supposed to abound in the work of the Lord. And this book right here is called The Work of God. This book is where I get understanding. This book is where I get wisdom. If I don't get understanding and wisdom, I'm going to be like the ostrich. who labors in vain, not realizing that there's some enemies out there that are going to destroy her little ones. Now hold it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So the Bible says that those tablets containing the Word of God, with the Word of God on them, the tablets were the work of God. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3. For as much as ye are manifest, everybody there? We're all there? For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Watch this now. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Moses had the tables of stone. We don't have the tables of stone. You say, oh no, Pastor, I know. I got a Holy Bible right here. In fact, I got the King James 1611 right here. I'm glad you do, but I'm going to say this morning something. You listen to me very carefully. It's okay for you to be in your Bible, but brother, what has to happen is this book has got to get in you. And it's okay for our kids to be in this Bible, but this Bible's got to get in our kids. Bible principles and the wisdom and the understanding that this book gives that comes from God, it isn't enough just for us to be in the book. The book has got to get in us. And the Bible, Paul said here, that in this day and age, the Spirit of God, God doesn't write His Word on tablets of stone today. Those days are over. We've got a completed Bible. But I'm going to tell you what happens, friend. The Spirit of God takes His finger and He writes on the fleshly tables of our hearts. Do you see that? And that's what needs to happen. The Spirit of God needs to take the Word of God and not just, you know, open our eyes to it and help us to see it, but He needs to write it upon the table of our hearts. He needs to give us, because this book will give us wisdom and this book will give us understanding. And if I can have wisdom and understanding as I try to construct my home, then I won't labor in vain. Listen, parents, listen. We want to run to books and we want to run to online websites and we want to run to this guy's parenting class and this person's parenting DVDs and get these guys that are trying to be Amish in the year 2011 and learn. I'm not against some of that stuff. But they don't make a book or a DVD that has more of the wisdom and understanding you need and I need for construction. Constructing our homes than that book right there. The problem is, all we do is get in it. It doesn't get in us. Does that make sense to y'all? Look. You may not always have a Bible with you. But if the Word of God, if we have gone and said, Lord, please teach us your word. And yes, we've been in it with our eyes, reading it and trying to study it and learn it. And we've asked the Holy Spirit, write it on our hearts and give me wisdom and give me understanding. You know, there are going to be times when I'm faced with decisions about my children. You're faced with decisions about your children in the construction of your home that you can't necessarily run to a Bible and look up a verse. But if you've got the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit of God has written in your heart, it'll be there when you need it. Because look, there's none of our kids that are alike. None of my six kids are alike. They're all unique. And all of my six are different from Brother Johnson's four. And his four are different from yours through your two. And your two is different from somebody else's eight. And their eight is different from your one. And all of our kids are unique and distinct. And God knows them, each and every one. Made them that way, knows the number of hairs on their head. And God is not just some kind of generic God that says, here you go, try this. It may work for yours, but it may not work for yours. God has something specific for every one of your kids, every one of my kids, every one of your kids, and every one of your kids. He's got wisdom and He's got understanding for us to know how to deal. He's got wisdom and understanding for me and my wife. Yes, we're husband and wife, but man, we're in the ministry. And you're in your vocation and in your world, and your world is different from ours, and ours is different from yours. And we don't all face the same exact distinct temptations and problems. But we got a great God who has wisdom and understanding for each specific case. That's exciting to me. And God's Spirit can take the wisdom and understanding that's in this book right here and write it on my heart. Write it on your heart, friend. So that we don't labor in... You know what this makes... In vain. Folks, you know what this... This makes the Bible the most important book. And for lack of a better word, it makes the Bible the most important thing in my home. And whether you believe it or not, it's the most important thing in your home. But how many of us have elevated it to that position? How many? Something to think about, isn't it? I'm talking about a home being a construction process. A construction project, excuse me. I don't want to labor in vain. God knows. How many of you have ever faced something and you read five or more books on child rearing, and then you faced something with a child that wasn't covered in any of those books? You go, what in the world? Brother Gellis, I'm so glad that God is not confined to the books man has written. But there's wisdom and there's understanding from my heart and your heart from this book right here, so that we don't labor in vain. Because any effort on man's part to accomplish something apart from God is vain. Construction project. Building requires a process. Building requires patience. Building requires a critical path. And building requires perseverance. But it all starts right here. It all starts right here. That is the single most wonderful gift outside of the person of Jesus Christ. This is the single most wonderful gift that God ever gave to mankind. Ever gave us. And we don't need to just be in it. It needs to be in us. Y'all see the difference there? That's as far as we'll go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please take the message this morning and apply it to our lives. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, help us to see how important your word is for our homes. A home is a construction project. And I pray that you'll help us to get everything that you have for us from this great book. All the understanding and wisdom that we need, because we certainly don't want to labor in vain. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Everybody's home in this room this morning is different. There are people all over this room in different circumstances at home. Some of you we saw this morning, you have your first child. Others of you.